Okay, we're not going to revisit the main sugya, but just two technical points back on the issue of Ben Bukhri and the Shkalim. One is, as we noticed, big machlokes rishonim about the shita of Ben Bukhri. Tosos already says in the Russell Gold Cohen, the Doris say Yidnu Yud Be Shvatim Gematria Zet Lach, and now in Mazalim are called Levi Sheinu Shokel. Really, according to Ben Bukhri, who's Pater from Shkalim? So Tosu says the entire Shevet Levi. The only reason he mentions Kohanim is because later on the Kohanim have a drush about Minchas Kohen. So he wanted to segue into or be parallel to what they were saying later. But basically, Ben Bukhri paters all of the Leviim. And the Raya is, if you follow the Mahalach of Tosos, Kokoin Shainu Shokol Shote the Dor Ze Yitnu Yud Be Shvatim Gematria Ze. If the drush of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai is that Ze all 12 Shvatim have to give, then it must be the Ben Bukhri holds only 11 Shvatim have to give. If only 11 Shvatim have to give, then all the Leviim must be Pater. The Ramban La Torah, that was on the Makor sheet, reads the Mishnah Kipshuto. If you look at the Mishnah Kipshuto, it starts with Ben Bukhri says Kol Kohen Shoshokel. Then Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says Kol Kohen Sheinu Shokel. And then the Kohanim are Dorsh Mikrozeli Atzman only about Minchas Kohen. Right? So shot of the Mishnah sounds like you're arguing only about Kohanim, and everyone agrees Leviim have to give Matzah Shekel. Okay, so that's Machlokes Rishonim. What's the Shita of Ben Bukhri? Again, Tosfos and Rashi sounds this way also, says Ben Bukhri paters the entire Shevet Levi. And the Ramban says he only paters the Kohanim. The Rishami says at the end, if the Makor of Ben Bukhri is called over al Pekudim, only people who are Nifkad, the Ramban says only people who are counted. The Kohanim weren't counted at all, right? Rashi Darshan, the dots in Parshat Bamidbar, I think it is. Kohanim weren't counted at all, and only four anyway. It wouldn't make a difference because they always round off. But they weren't counted at all, so he excludes the Kohanim weren't counted. Tosos, Rashi sounds this way also, says no, all the Leviim weren't counted. Just Kohanim come up later, but really all the Leviim weren't counted because the Leviim are not over Al Pekudim. Why are the Leviim not over Al Pekudim? Either because they didn't pass by Moshe, rather Moshe went to them to see how many little kids were in each tent, or because they didn't pass by Moshe from 20 and up like the other Jews, they had different rules, because that's called overall good and benefit from Shana Mamala, they were counted from 30 days. Okay, that's one technical issue. The other technical issue is how to get the Chumash to work out, according to Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, who the Rambam Paskins like, right, who says that regardless of how we paskin, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai has to do with the Chumash, right? Everyone's bound by the Chumash. So the problem is that there are two censuses in the Chumash. This is the question of the Shittum Kubetzes, right? The Shittum Kubetzes asks, I don't know if I have it on the page in mine. No, it must be in the back in mine. sorry. The Shittum Kubetzes asks that there are more than two senses in the Chumash, if anyone noticed this week's Parsha, but we're talking about in the beginning time, right? At the beginning of the 40 years in the desert, there are two senses in the Chumash. One is in Parsha Kisisa. This is the Trumas HaAdonim. Right, that's what they made the lavdaf, the adonim, right? The silver was used for many things. But most of it was used for the adonim, the sockets, I think they're called in English. And it was through Matzah HaShekel. That's Mefurash. It's actually Parshas, more like Parshas Kisisa Pekude. Excuse me. It's Mefurash and Parshas Pekude that the Jews each gave half the shekel of kesef, like they were supposed to. And out of that half a shekel of kesef, they got 100 kikars, which is 300,000 shekel, plus another 1750 shekels, corresponding to 603,350 Jews, or Jewish adult males. And out of that, they made the adonim, etc. So this is the machzis ha-shekel. And the number is clear, 603,550. I hope I have the number down right. Then, in Parshas Bamidbar, again, I'm not talking about Pinchas this week's Parsha. That's after 40 years. That's a different number, Legamri. That's like 601, 350 or something. Here you have the census. And the number is 603,550. What's the problem? The problem is that this census is clearly without Leviim. That's Mefurish. If you look Mefurish in Parshas Midbar, it adds up all the Shvatim that are now Leviim, and it adds them up, and it adds them up many different ways, and you clearly get 603,550 without Leviim. So, the Kashya Shinu Gebetzis is, if this is without Leviim, and this is without Leviim, then this also must be without Leviim, but this is through Matzah Shekel. That proves Matzah Shekel is without Leviim, but Leviim are plus for Matzah Shekel. It's a proof for Ben Bukhri, meaning for Tosfos' version of Ben Bukhri, not the Ramban's version of Ben Bukhri. It's a proof for Ben Bukhri, and Erev Yochanan Zakkai is against the Chumash. But you're not allowed to be against the Chumash. So how do we defend Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, and how do we fit him into the Chumash? So there are two answers that I know of. One is the Shinu Gebetzis here, which is just Tosfos on the page in Menachos Daf Chaf Aleph, where there's a parallel sugya, and they analyze Ben Bukhri and bring down similar Shakta Bataria. What's the answer of the Shinu Gebetzis? So the Shita Mekubetzes says Shita Mekubetzes says no, in Parshki Sisa and Pekude there were two different Machtziot. There were two different Machtziot HaShekel. There was one Machtzit HaShekel Aleph, A, was parallel to this, was without Leviim, and was for the Adonim. Right, by Adonim, again, I don't mean daf for the Adonim, they call it the Adonim, meaning the sockets, that's just 99% of it went to the Adonim. But it's for all the silver they used in the Beis HaMikdash. Just, again, 99% of it, out of the 603,550, the 600,000 peoples went to build the sockets, which are just very heavy and big, and that's more than 99%. So, and then there was a second one. The second one was with the Leviim, and it was for the Karbanos Tzibur, and it was more than 603,550. Right? And it was more than 603,550. How much was it? Okay, we don't know, actually. So he says, in, because Rashi already points out, Rashi and Kesisa, that it's talking about three different trumas there. One is when everyone gave whatever they wanted, like it says in the beginning of Parshas Truma, give your, you know, red your red ram skins and your etc. You know, your copper and your gold and your herbs and etc. Your dyes and your spices. And one was for the build the Mishkan, and one was to buy the karbanos. And so he says, basically says, this was not to buy karbanos, this was just to count them in order to see what kind of army they had to conquer Eretz Yisrael, maybe to divide up Eretz Yisrael if they hadn't gotten stuck in the Midbar for 40 years. This wasn't for karbanos, that was for Adonim. The one for karbanos included Leviim, and we don't know what the number was, but it was higher than 603,550. That's the Shita Gubetzis' answer. The Ramban gives a different answer. The Ramban says, the Ramban says that this was without Leviim, and this was with, meaning including Leviim. And the number being the same is coincidence. Meaning, you don't say coincidence. You could say there's some metaphysical reason behind it. But it was, statistically coincidence. Meaning the Rabban says no. The 603,550 mentioned in Parshas Kisisa Pekudei, that was including Leviim. The 603,550 mentioned by Midbar was that without Leviim. But just they're both 603,550 doesn't mean they were the same count. There was used to be 603,550 including Leviim, And then later, there were 603,550, not including Levium. It must have been the population went down a little. Levium were a small shevet, so it's not such a big deal yet.
Mathematically, it sounds like a tremendous coincidence that it's the exact same number.
It's a tremendous coincidence. So, of course, what you might say is, it's not a coincidence. It's that there's some mystical significance to the number, and therefore Hashem arranged it so that should be the different numbers they use all ended up to be something with deep mystical significance. Maybe there's something gematria that we're not familiar with. You know, so meaning it's not as crazy to say coincidence about two numbers in the Torah as it would be in just the history of Iceland. Because after all, in the Torah, a lot of remarkable things happen because there's more Ashkacha process in those stories than the population of Iceland. What?
The first Teres, the Shita, isn't also very...
Yeah, it's adding a lot to the... Right, is adding a lot to the Chumash. but, look, you have to say something because the Pashup Shad in the Chumash is like Ben Bukhari. Right? Pashup Shad in the... But the Ramban points out, he says, you know what? The Ramban gives many reasons show why he's not so crazy. He says, A... according to him, Ben Bukhri counts the Levium anyway. So then, the Pashup Shad and the Chumash wouldn't work out anyway. Even Levium have to give Machzah Shekel, so how is it only 603,550? KB, you can the whole issue of if Machzah Shekel, okay, no, that's the, and he says there's a time lag between them. After all, how do we know there's a time lag between them? Because this happened in Aleph Iyar. The Mishkan was finished built in Aleph Nisan, and obviously if they use this to build the Mishkan, this census has to have happened before Aleph Nisan, with enough time to collect all the money, make it into what you need to make it into, and build the Mishkan. So there's clearly at least a month, if not 2, 3, 4, 5 months, or even 6 months, in between them. So he says, could it be that no one died and no one had a birthday in between? No, it must be. There are lots of fluctuations of population, and it happened to be the fluctuation of population happened to exactly cancel out the exclusion of the Levium, and maybe there's some mystical reason behind it, we don't know, but at least it's a coincidence from a mathematical perspective.
The first count is coming a few months after you see it, and we go from 600,000 to 603. Right, and we're not talking about the number of births, we're talking about the number of people that turned 20. So
right.
All the coincidences need to have happened.
Okay, but just to be fair, your assumption is wrong. I'm not sure, I think I might know where you're going, but your assumption is wrong anyway, because even though there's a Rashi in one place, I forget where, who says that exactly 600,000 left Mitzrayim, the Pashup Shad in the Chumash is not that way. It says, Kish Sheish Meos Elef Ragli Hagvarim Levad Mitaf. Since it says in the Torah, Kish Sheish Meos Elef Ragli means approximately 600,000. So it could very well have been 603,550 the whole time. Or it could have been 606.
No, we would want less to leave Mitzrayim. I mean, if fewer than 600,000 leave Mitzrayim, we can say that X number of people turn 20 per month, and you make this count, the first count, let's say in, Elul, something like that, right before the building of the Mishkan, or at the building, then you have another 6 months where
you need more people to die in the 6 months than to turn 20.
You want?
Oh, sorry, no, the other way around. You need more people to turn 20 than to die to make up for it to move you. Okay, so what you want to say is if it went from 600,000 to 603,550, then it's mistaver that if I kept going up and that works for the Ramban.
If you were then, depending
correct.
On the first count,
correct.
And how many actors.
Correct. And the Ramban points out, he says, if there didn't a lot of people have the 20th birthday in between, so what's pshat and even the hag mean of the question? Okay, so Rashi answers that it only counts as a birthday on Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah didn't pass in between.
Like
trees, at least. Anyway, this is, I think, the two ways to defend Yochanan and Zakkai is either to say, yes, these are the same number, but there was another Machzah Shekel that wasn't counted in the Torah that included Levium, or to say, these are not the same number, it's coincidence. I mean, they're the same number, they're not the same count, it's coincidence. This one included Levium, this one didn't. But either way, you have to stick the Levium into Parshas Ki Sisa in order to defend Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rashi ala Torah, by the way, holds like the question of Shittim Kvetzes. Rashi ala Torah says explicitly, he says, yes, there are two different Machzah Shekels. One is the people who gave for the Adonim in or in Parshas Pekudei. The other is in Parshas Bamidbar. That was given for Korbanot Tzibar. Rashi says Mefurish that Parshas Bamidbar was given for Korbanot Tzibar. Right? So Rashi says explicitly that this is the same count, and Parshas Bamidbar is the Shkalim. It doesn't say anywhere in Parshas Bamidbar that they gave Shkalim. Although, not an unreasonable assumption, is the Shkalim for Korbanos HaTzibur. So he explicitly denies, once he said Parshas Bamidbar for Korbanos HaTzibur, and Parshas Bamidbar didn't include Shevet Levi, it's explicit like Ben Bukhari.
Oh, Shevet Levi was counted in the Bamidbar, just separately. So whenever any head of the family came to include all his children, he gave out the Minmat as the Shekel was supposed to give. So he just answered the real that way.
Ah, clever. Meaning he did bid for the Adonim Levi, he didn't give.
But the Adonim, we know how much was given. For the Midbar, we know that 600,000 were given, and then the Levi were counted separately as 22,000. And of those 22,000, so they gave 5,000 shekels, whatever it was.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay. That's clever. I was going to say something different. But, okay, if Parshas Bamidbar is for the Korbanos HaTzibur, doesn't that prove Ben Bukhari against Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai? So, two answers. Yosef Kornbluth says, no, it could be that if on Midbar, the Levium also gave. And he really holds like the Shidmug of Betzes. After all, it never says the Levium didn't give Shkolim parts about Midbar. That's what Kornbluth was saying, right? I want to say a much simpler answer. That Rashi paskins like Ben Bukhari against the Rambam. The Rambam pass like Riochun and Zakkai. Maybe Rashi paskins like Ben Bukhari. Why can't Rashi pass like Ben Bukhari? And just to support that, there's a Rashi in Chulin Daf Yud Chesam and Beis who says that, that's enough Kanina, right? When they rebuild the Beis HaMikdash soon, so the Levim going to have to give Shkolim or not. On Chulin Yud Chesam and Beis, I'll just read you a Rashi, and which might be relevant. Says Rashi, on Chulin Yud Chesam and Beis, I'm sorry, let me just find it. This is a really long one. Here we are. Kol Eidos Hilchasahi. All Eidos is Halacha. And it says, Heyed Rabbi Yehuda. Right? What is the Lashon? The Lashon is, Heyed Ben Bukhari B'Yavne. Sorry, Heyed Ben Bukhari B'Yavne. So if Rashi holds that all Eidos is Halacha, that means whenever it says Heyed, we paskin that way, then it could be Rashi L'shitase. This I found in the Achronim, that it could be Rashi L'shitase. In Chulin, Daf Yud Ches Amid Beis, Kol Eidos. What did I quote? Kol Eidos Hilchasahi. So if every Eidos is Halacha, then we should pass like Ben Bukhari. So now, of course, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai would have to have his answer, but Rashi doesn't have to fear Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. Rashi interpreted like Ben Bukhari. Okay, so we have. I think if you put the pattern together, it's not bad. Okay, so that's how we interpret the Pesukim. Yochanan Zakkai has two choices. Either he says the 6 or 350 is the same without Levium, but there was another stealth matz shekel that wasn't enumerated in the Torah. Or to say, like the Ramban, the 6 or 350 did include Levium, and it was coincidence, quote unquote. Or you could, Rashi, it could be that Rashi would say that, there were other stealth shekelim given in Bamidbar that weren't listed in the Torah. Or it could be that Rashi just holds like Ben Bukhari and therefore didn't bother to interpret otherwise. Okay, now let's go on in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, We just finished the part of Eben Buchri, and what did we say? Salkadai Techamina, we are sort of like one line under Tosas the Rassel Vahach, like parallel to that. Salkadai Techamina holds in Kol Ercha Yem Shagal Kodesh, according to Ben Buchri, Kohanim are part of Mishkan Levium, according to Tosas, and seemingly Rashi, are part of Mishkan. The Kol Ercha Yem Shagal Kodesh, called the Isim Shkol, Isim Erchin, Mahani Kohanim hold less than Mishkan, less than Erchin. So what's the Havmina? Since Kohanim are part of Mishkan, they're also part from Erech, and that's a halving. That's why we need that kol marifim to have living Israelim. Kamashvelan that they're still chayev. Amalei Abai Haiv kol Erech. Now, first of all, why Kamashvelan is still chayev? Here is not so clear. Abai is going to help us a little. Amalei Abai Haiv kol Erech kol Erech and Shachto Marach lo yepchusim isela hu daasa. Right? He says, no, Kol Erech Yerushal HaKodesh is not for a hekesh of Erech and Shkolim. That's not even a Havamina, that it was Chayim and Shkolim, Chayim and Erech, it was a Pachim and Shkolim, Pachim and Erech. He says, there's a different drasha from that. Kol Erech Yerushal HaKodesh, again, Shekel and Chumash is what we call Sela in Shas, is that you can never give less than a Sela. That's referring to Hesed Yad, right? You only give what you can afford, but it always has to be at least one Sela. So we learn something else from that. Okay, Tosos, the Shidim Gubetzes, already asked the question of, okay, why can't we learn two things from that Pasuk? So, okay, maybe the Mark could have suggested learn two things from the Pasuk, and didn't, or maybe, like, we're unlikely to learn two things from the Pasuk if one of them doesn't really have a strong Svara behind it. And there's no strong Svara to compare Shkolim to Erechin. Okay, let's go on. So what does Abai say? Ella Amar Abai Itzra Sakdai Gemi Hold Siv Fdu Yav Min Chodesh Tifta Bi Erechicha. Therefore, called the Isa, meaning use the word Erechicha and Pidyon Aben. Called the Isa Pidyon Aben, Isa Erechin. Whoever is Chayim Pidyon Aben is Chayim and Erechin, and whoever is Potter Pidyon Aben is Potter and Erechin. The Hanikwanim hold less than Pidyon Aben, less than Erechin. And Kohanim, since they don't have Pidyon Aben, don't have Erechin. Kamashmalon. Right, so that's what Rabbi says. The Havmina is a hekesh to Pinyin Aben. We know Kohanim are potter from Pinyin Aben. The truth is, even Levium are potter from Pinyin Aben, which works better for Tosfos here, that Ben Bruch potter's Levium. Okay, but you don't have to say we're discussing the same thing throughout the Sukkah. Okay, clearly it's a Havmina potter Kohanim from Pinyin Aben, because they're from Erech, because they're potter from Pinyin Aben. Kamashmalon. Says Rava to Abai. Amelie Rava, Elami Atagabi El Asham, Dixivius Asham, Yavi Lashem, Ayel Tamim and Atzon Be'erkechad, also used the word Be'erkechad, used the word Be'erkechad a lot of times in Chumash, by Chiv Asham. Most of the Ashamos have to be Be'erkechad Kesef Shkolim, a ram worth at least two sela. So since it says the word Erkechad by an Asham, Hachin Amit called the Isa Be'erchin Isa Be'el Asham Tumtum Adrogonus less than Be'erchin less than Be'el Asham. Right? You really think there's a hekesh? The Rebbe says where Erkechah is comparing two things, then you would pater Tumtum Adrogonus from El Asham. And would anyone say Tumtum Adrogonus is pater from an Asham? No, that's ridiculous. Okay, it's not exactly clear why that couldn't be at least a Havamina, right? The Rishonim argue. Shouldn't it be at least a Havamina that Tumtum? We're not discussing Maskana, only Havamina here, right? What's the Havamina? So shouldn't it be at least a Havamina that Tumtum and Drogonus could be Potter from El Hasham? Okay, so Rashi says it can't be, because since they're Jews, obviously they're Chayav in El Hasham. And the Shidim Gebetzah suggests, I think it was the Shidim Gebetzah suggests, no, maybe, and the Sfasema says the same thing, it's not a Havamina, because then the Gemara should have said, HaKol Chayavin Be Hasham. Since the Gemara never bothered to say HaKol Chayavin, that shows it was not a Havamina. Okay, so Rava gives a different approach. Says Rava, Elam Rava, Bisem Ravashi, Itzra Sach Lechemina Holach Siv Amidol Fnei Kohen, Vlokon Lefnei Kohen, Kamashwan. You might have thought that Amidol Fnei Kohen, the Mia is, he goes in front of the Kohen, but he is not a Kohen, he only goes in front of the Kohen, he's not a Kohen, right? Therefore, Kohen is Bach from Eretz, Kamashwan, we don't make that drasha. So in terms of what the Havamina is, so the first step, did the first step have a name? All the way at the beginning of the sugya? Yeah, Rabba. Rabba says, Hekesh l'shkolim, and why is that wrong? Because it's The pasuk is used for a different din, right? Then comes Abaye, and Abaye says Hekesh Lepidyon Haben, and that's wrong because we don't do a Hekesh every time it says Be'erkecha. The proof is El Ha'asham, and Rava says it's Benito Lifnei Hakohen. Okay, what's not exactly clear is a few things. First of all, sorry. Let's find out the Sheet of Gebetzes, and then we'll get into a little more. The Sheet of Gebetzes asks, but don't we in fact have a drosha? Don't we do a hekesh? This Gemara's assumption, the Skun, is that we don't do hekesh every time it says Erica. But what hekesh have we had already? The hekesh between Domim and Erica, right? It says Ish ki yidor neder be'erkecha ki afli lindor be'erkecha v'shos l'Hashem lindor be'erkecha means we have a hekesh between the darim, meaning nidre domim, the domim of a person and the erech of a person. So doesn't that prove that we do darshan hekeshes? And what's the Sheet of Gebetzes' answer? That's different because it's similar, right? Two things were Vedic bias about people. Of course, there are hekesh of similar things, but these things are dissimilar. Okay, with that as background, I would just ask one or two questions. First of all, what's Abaye thinking? Does Abaye have a story? Can you defend Abaye? Do we have to defend Abaye? Why do we have to defend Abaye? Who possibly is like Abaye here? The Rambam, the Pirush Mishnayos. The Rambam, the Pirush Mishnah, Paskins like Abaye. So hold on. How do you defend Abaye? Like, why would you have this half Amina and you don't have a half Amina by El Ha'asham? So anyone want to defend Abaye?
Yosef?
Exactly. Pasha, that's how to defend Abaye. Right? What's the Svara? The Svara is, this is not what the Sheet of Gebetzes holds, but this is parallel, similar to Sheet of Gebetzes. We make a hekesh between similar things and not between dissimilar things. El Asham be'erkecha, El Tamina Tzom be'erkecha. What's the similarity between being and bringing a carbon Asham and Erchin? Erchin and carbon Asham are not similar, but Pidyon HaBen and Erchin are similar. They're both Pidyon HaFashos. As a matter of fact, they're even the same amount of money, right? How much is Pidyon HaBen? 5. And how much is a 30-year-old boy? 5, right? It's an Astam, not coincidental. So then the answer is very poshut. That Pidyon, meaning an El Asham is Kapara. Kapara is not the same as Erkin. Kapara for Navira is not the same as Erkin. But they're both similar things because they are both Pidyon Nefesh and they're even the same amount. So therefore, since they're similar, the Rambam actually likes Abaye. It's not so clear. All the Achronim try to figure out what made the Rambam Pirush Mishnayos say like Abaye and not like Rava. After all, we always all like Rava. Besides, like he's Maskan of the Gemara here. Right? It's Rava or Ravashi. Either way, we always all like Rava against Abaye. We always all like Basra, the later generation of Ravashi. And that's Maskan of the Gemara. Why would Rambam go against this? So, no one really has a great reason exactly why the Rambam felt the need to pass like Abaye against Rava. I can't tell you, I'm certain, why he decided to pass and say, okay, it ties into a Lakish, some place of the Choros, but that just begs the question, because it's against Rabbi Yochanan, we shouldn't pass like Rish Lakish against Rabbi Yochanan. So I don't know. Someone will figure out why the Rambam had to say like Abaye, but how to defend Abaye, that Abaye wasn't crazy. I think the answer is you know about El Asham, but Pidyon HaBen is similar because they're both Pidyon HaFashos. as opposed to El Hashem, which is just bringing a korban for kapara.
I mean, you could say for the Rambam that the Vemi Dilafnak, Kohen, Kohen, Lefne, Kohen, and, you know, who's standing before the, is the Kohen, the Nerach, the one standing before the Kohen is the Nerach, the Marech, and the Mishnah Torah doesn't seem like he takes the hand of Kohen that seriously.
Okay. Ah. You're saying because of the Nerach Marech thing.
Right. So maybe you want to give a serious Havamina, so Abai is a serious Havamina.
Okay. So the I was thinking that also, okay, if Rafa points out, maybe you could say, you know, even if the Rambam could defend Abaye, but why would he reject the Maskana of the Gemara? Maybe that ties into the next line of the Gemara, right? What do you find in the next line of the Gemara? That, this is already what Tosafot points out, who is Behem Nido going on? Right? Is it going on the Marech or the Nerach? So later on in the Gemara, in a few lines from now, who does the Mefarshim point out what's going on? Limute Gosis. That's the Marech or the Nerach.
Yeah.
The Nerach. And Rava seems to assume it's going on the Marech, the person who's Chayiv and Shkalim. So it could be, because of the question that we showed him later, maybe because Rava interprets the Hamido, as referring to the Ma'arich, but the Gemara later interprets it as referring to the Nerach, and therefore maybe the Rambam understood that Rav was disproven by the Gemara later on, when the Gemara later on says that the Hamad of Harach excludes if I say the Erech of this Goses is on me, therefore it shows your Ma'amid the Nerach, but Rava was assuming your Ma'amid the Ma'arich. So it must be Rava's wrong, maybe that's why he rejected Rava. Okay, I think Rava's right, that's probably the best explanation we can give to why he rejected Rava. Agav. Why does the Rambam say, now the Rambam made the Havmina so good, why is the Havmina wrong? Well, I mean, there's only a Havmina. Why is it wrong, according to the Rambam? Not because we don't make a Hekesh. We just explained for the Rambam, we've as far as you can make a Hekesh, right? So now, the Rambam, why is it wrong? After all, El Hashem is no longer a good disproof. Because El Hashem has nothing to do with Erechim. So the Rambam, L'shitasei, what does the Rambam say? He has to bring in a new idea, which is not Mefurish in the Gemara, says, the Maskana is that Ish is Marbe HaKohen. It's not that the Hekish is wrong. The Hekish is a very reasonable Hekish. Yeah, we really would have thought we'd get Perp to Pidyon Ben, Kohen or Perp to Pidyon Ben, or Perp from Erechim. However, since it says Ish, the word Ish is Marbe A Kohen. That's the Rambam says Beresh Mishnayis. It doesn't say it in Mefurash and Shas, but because he has to follow through. Right now, there's nothing obviously wrong with Abaye Svara. It's a good Svara. So therefore, we have to have another drush against it because we can't undermine Abaye's drush itself. It's a good drusha. So we have to have a counter drusha. Okay. Yes?
Just the mere fact that the Gemara the Gemara keeps going after Abaye, is enough of a reason to, you know, why the Rambam has great
the Rambam's against Pshat of the Gemara. The Rambam's against Pshat of the Gemara. So I'm trying to do two things. What I'm trying to do over here is explain the Rambam's logic without explaining why he's against the Gemara. This part is, I think, very strong. This part is explaining why the Rambam rejected the Gemara. This is a speculation. There are many speculations in the Akronim. None of them are so convincing. It's a speculation why he rejected the Gemara. So this part is just how he makes sense and I think that's a very strong Hesper. This part is why he said it, even if it makes sense. Not everything that makes sense you have to say if it's against the Gemara. Okay, that is, I admit, that's a weaker speculation. If someone has a better idea, I invite them to. If you want to see something that, you know, sometimes things are very, very lumdish, just, it's not necessarily, like, something making beautiful lumdish. You tie in everything in Shastel, Chakira, etc. just it's not always necessarily so convincing. In the Sefer I have in the base Medrash called Karen Dovid, he basically has a 20-page essay where he says, what's really going on is we see the Machlokas, Rav and Abaye, they're arguing over the Shulchan Gevurim, whether Erev is a real pidyon or not, and then he brings that the role of Shas, and I'm not so convinced by it, but if you want to take a look at it and give him a chance yourself, you are welcome to, and that's how he explains this whole sugya. Okay, I'm not going to get into that more. Let's go on to the Gemara. Next part of the Gemara. Now what we do now, we say, Ne'erachin lasuya menuvel mukashchen. Ne'erachin is to include even a menuvel mukashchen who has no tamim, still has erchin. Now the Gemara menahani mili. And we are basically bringing rice here, not just for menuvel mukashchen, but for all the drushes of all the different details of erchin, right? And at first the price, until the Gemara explains it, won't make any sense. It'll sound like we're darkening too many things in the same words, but we will suspend disbelief until we get to the Gemara, where the Gemara is going to tie up everything and show how it all makes sense. Ditan Rabbanan, Be'erkecha lohavi erech sasov. Right? Be'erkecha is to include a stam erech that's not of a particular person. You just say, I'll pay an erech. Dover acher, the erecha erech kulu no same velo erech environment, only an erech of a whole person, but there's no erech of a limb, of a limb. If I just say the erech of my hand, or if your hand is on me, I don't pay anything. You might think that even if I say, tain, if I say my hand, I don't pay anything. What about erech and neshama tluyabo? Something that my life depends on. I say the erech of my heart, or your heart, or my head, or my lungs, or something like that. You might think I'm also potter. No, nefashos, anything that my life depends on, then I have to pay the full erech. Meaning it's all or nothing. The erech of my hand or my leg, I pay zero. The erech of my heart or my lung, I pay the full value of my life. Nefashos, vidarsha nefashos, to exclude mace. Right, who's not a nefesh. Otsis, amesh, otsis, a goseis. We might only exclude a mace, and not exclude a goseis, someone who is about to die, more, who's more vant. Right, goseis. We don't have goseis as much nowadays. The whole concept of goseis is a little hard nowadays. Nowadays, when most people die in the hospital, hooked up to all kinds of machines, so it's hard to tell what a goseis means, because no one's about to die. Meaning, there's no physical signs of being about to die, and it's very hard to figure out how to apply the halacha category of goseis. All the poskim deal with it. But if you ever, in a case where someone died at home peacefully in their own bed, like they did in the old days, then a goseis is as someone is miskarev to their final moments. So there's many, many physical symptoms by which you can see that that they're not that they're about to die. You could tell there's physical symptoms that they're about to die in terms of, you know, that they're not interacting, and in terms of their nature of their breathing, and that's what a goseis means, right? Right, Bleich has a lot of essays. How do you know who's a goseis nowadays? It's been much difficulty. But again, if someone's not, if someone's dying naturally, then there's a clearly identifiable stage called goseis. You can look at someone and say, this person is in his last day or two, and is about to pass away. Okay, and how do we know to exclude a goseis? Not because of nefashos, because a goseis is still a nefesh. He's still alive for halachic purposes. So the Gemara says that, you know, for purposes of Yibam and Yerusha and things like that, he's still alive. Rather, we exclude him because of the Hamid Behera, Kol Sheishna Mada Yeshna Baharacha, Kol Sheinu Mada Eino Baharacha. Right? Haracha is to tell him what she's worth and give his value. There's only an Erech if he can stand, since a goseis can't stand. We'll see what that means in a moment. Therefore, there's no Erech. Dover Acher, Nefashos, Ein Le'el Echad Sheherech Echad. Echad Sheherech Me'emi Na'in Tam Alomer Nefashos. Right, another drasha is, we only know that it says in the Shad of the Chumash, it's so much so does Marech one person, right? Always say what that one person is. How do we know, even if you're Marech many people, 100 people, that the din still applies? Tam Alomer Nefashos, in the plural, that you can even be Marech more than one person. Okay, I'm going to go a little out of order just because that's what was in Makoros sheet. Based on what I thought I might get to last time. There's a very small deal in the Mepharshim here. What exactly is this half amina that a person could be Marech 100 people? Like, if you can be Marech one person, why couldn't you be Marech 100 people? I say, your Erech is on me. So I can say, your Erech is on me, and your Erech is on me, and your Erech is on me, and your Erech is on me. Right? Anything in the Torah you can do as many times as you want. Right? I can sell as many cows as I want. and I could be nazir as many times as I want. I can bring as many karbanos as I want. So why can't I be marich as many people as I want? So what is the havamina? So that bothered Tosos, right? It bothered Tosos. What's the havamina? Right, here we have what's the havamina and what's the maskana about echad sheherich mea. So what does Tosu say? Tosu says, of course I can be married as many people as I want. The havamina just depends how I say it, says Tosos. Kon she'amer erich ploni 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 olai. The answer, erich b'loshen yochid. Sa'akadai b'lohem erich. Of course, if I would say, Lashon Rabim, the Erkei, these people are on me, of course it would be Chal. But I said, Lashon Yachid, Erech of Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, right? It says, Erech, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. I said, there's one Erech to all the people together, right? So what's the Havamina? So the havmina is that, right? Is that it's not chal at all. Because I said there's one erich to many people, and it can't be. There isn't one erich to many people. The kamash malan, right? It's just... What? That's not what Tosaf says. Tosaf says, sakadai tes du lo havi erich. I think that's the difference between Tosaf and the Shita, right? The maskana is that it is chal, right? The havmina is that you can't, meaning the havmina is you can't have an erech of, you can't have one erech of many people. Maskana is no, you can even have one erech of many people. The Shidim Guvetzes says that's too radical. What does the Shidim Guvetzes say? He says the same thing. Erech, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, but what's the havmina? Since I said erech, Aaron, exactly. Since I said a lashon yachid, erech Reuven, the erech is only going on Reuven. An erech can only be on Reuven. Kamash v'lan that. Nope, it's going on all of them. I'm chayiv in the erech of all of them.
What did he mean when he said Erech Reuven? And then just mention names of his friends, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda? What did he say there? What was he talking about?
It's a good question. The answer might be, even if he meant, that'll be Gemara a little later on, even if he meant in Daf Hey, the Erech of Reuven and the Erech of Shimon and the Erech of Levi, since he didn't say it, he's still Potter. However, the Brisker Rav and the Sfas Emes here says the same thing, points out in the Rambam, that maybe there's something a little more lumdish going on here. Because what does the Rambam say? The Rambam says in Perek Aleph, Halacha Yutes, Ha'omer Erkiel, Yilchet, sorry. Ha'omer Erech Elu Alai. So first of all, the Rambam doesn't have, he doesn't say like Tosos. He doesn't say it's a case where you used such a strange lashon like Tosos. Says the Rambam, Erech Elu Alai. Okay, that's still maybe a little inappropriate, but it's not as inappropriate as Tosos lashon. What did the Rambam say? No sin erech kulam kolechad erech lishana. You have to pay all of them. B'imhaya ani, no sin el yikulam erech echad ani. And if he was poor, he gives for all of them one poor person's erech. Meaning, let's say he's poor and he only has one shekel. Let's say he says erech elu alai this whole room. Right? There are, 16 of you. And he's so poor that he only has one sela. So he gives one sela for all 16. That's what it sounds like, at least. So the Brisker Rav says, what's the Gemara according to the Rambam? The Gemara is a lumdish, according to the Rambam. The Havamina is that it is many different Erechin. That's the Havamina. Of course it's Chal. But the having is that it's chalas many different erichin. Like if I say the erichin is 16 people, I mean 16 different nidrei erichin. Therefore, if I'm poor, I have to give 16 different amounts. The kama, the maskana is that it's one unified erich. That's the maskana. The maskana is that it's one unified erich. What's the nafkamina, says the Griz here. What's the nafkamina? The havmina is that, of course, I can do an erich of many people, but then it's many erichin, right? If it hadn't been 8 years ago, so I would have said, I can be married 18 people, and then it's 18 erichin. The kamashma is that, no, erich nefashos, that even many people are all one unified erich. What's the nafkamina of being one unified erich? The nafkamina is, if he's poor, if it's 18 different, then he has to give at least 18 shkolim. Right, because each erech has to be at least one shekel. That's what we learned, right? Right. what was the drasha from? From Kol Erech Yib Shekel Hakodesh. Kamash along that, since it's one unified erech, and he's poor, he only has to give one shekel for all 18 of them. What's the nafkamina? Who cares? If it's one unified erich or 18 different erichin, so says the that gives one sela for all of them. That's the drush of the fashal, that even if one person is married 100 people, it counts as one neder. Since it's one neder, if he's poor, he can give one sela. And it'll count for all 18 of them because it's not 18 different nedarim, it's one nedar. That's a Kamash Tanah. If you love this, it's one nedar, not 18 nedarim.
I mean, the Rambam discusses what the halach is if it was separate nedarim, right? If I say, erech this person, erech that person, so there's like a whole discussion of like, you know, if I pay the value of the second person first, or the first person first, and how much money I have left over. So I'm just not sure how what the Kesem Mishnah is saying, or the Havim, meaning it's not completely separate in Dharm. If it's completely separate in Dharm, then I look at, when I'm dealing with the first person, we say, okay, well, how much money did you have now? If you have like 2.5 shkalim, like that's what you give. And now you're broke. And now like you wait until the second person, then you do another haracha then. But the idea of paying one shekel or one per person, I'm not sure how that fits.
Ah, okay. You're saying very well, which is that here there's a bit of machlokes. I just have to. Now, I'm just going to make myself some more room. Make myself a little asterisk and find some open real estate. Keep in mind, I think, that even according to Tosfos, I think that's the Kamashla. It means the having is you can't say one Erech about many people. The Kamashla is, no, it's one Erech about many people. And I hope I will, by being careful, I formulate you address your concern. What is the Nafgamina? One Erech. As opposed to many erichin. So here there are two options. A is, I think, the pashup shot in the Rambam, and this is what the Brisker Rav assumes, is that if he's poor, he gives one sela for everyone. As opposed to if he was rich, he would have to give more than that. The Lechem Mishnah disagrees. What does the Lechem Mishnah say? That if he's poor, because that's Pshat in the Rambam. What does the Rambam say? No sin al yidei kulam erech echad ani. Al yidei kulam means for all of them. Right? just the Lashon of the Rambam is no sin al yidei kulam Erech Echad Ani, you give one Erech Ani for all of them, meaning as little as one shekel, whatever you can afford. I thought the Pshat in the Rambam, this way the Brisker Rav understood it, is that Al Yidei Kula means for all of them. However, the Lechem Mishnah understood it a little differently. He said Al Yikulam is for each of them. He says you get for each of them an Irach Honey, meaning you have to give at least, let's say you only have, you say 18 guys and you only have 16. 16 guys and you only have 16 slime. You have to give 16 slime. Or let's say even better, if you have 16 guys, you only have one Sela. You have to give 16 slime anyway. You just have to give one and then wait till you get more. And then give the rest. So the Brisk Rav says, okay, this doesn't really fit my fork. But what Rafi's pointing out is that even the Lechem Mishnah fits this lumdus. According to the Lechem Mishnah, says the Lechem Mishnah, is that if you're poor, you give at least one Sela for each. And even that's a Chiddush. Why? Because if it was multiple Erechin, let's say an example. Let me say a better example. And Rafi, I think that's what you're trying to say. If he was Ma'arich 20 people, and he has 20 slime, he gives one Sela for each, and even that's a Chiddush, because if they had been different in Durham, what would he have to do? Give 20 slime for one. And then, when he makes more money, pay the other 19. Because the rule is, Rafi says, if a guy makes two different in Durham, that is your test. Someone says Erki Alai, and then goes back and says Erki Alai, or even if the guy says, here he doesn't explicate what happens if he's poor. Probably says that a little later. But if a guy says, I'll give two different Erich, and if a guy says, I'll give Erich, and he's poor, he has to give all his money for the first one, and then make more money for the second one. Right? So even then, there's a chiddush, as opposed to, he gives one seller for each. But if they were different Nidarim, he would give 20 for the first one. Right? Is that what you meant, Rafi?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. So really, I think the Pashpat on the Rambam, like the Brisk Rav, Bain for the Lechem Mishnah, there's a Chiddush in the Rambam, and the Chiddush in Rashi is Lundus. And that the Hav means it wasn't Chal, Kamashim, when it is Chal. Now, of course, it's Chal. The Hav means that it counts as many Nedarim. Kamashlon accounts as only one neder. The Kamashlon is the same as Tosas. What's Tosas saying? The Habis would say Erech and many people doesn't count. It does count. It's one Erech and many people. Right? Kamashlon is one neder. What's Nafkamina being one neder? Either the Nafkamina is very makel. You can give one Sela for everyone. Or the Nafkamina is you still have to give a separate Sela for each one. When it comes to Hesed Gab, we don't ask what you can afford to make you pay the first and then come back later and pay the rest. We ask what you can afford and make you pay them all together based on what you can afford. So either way, there's enough meaning to being one neder. Okay, so that's the Rambam's lumdish pshat in the sunya. And it seems to me that is the Rambam's pshat in our Gemara, because the Rambam does add something which has no makor in shas. He says, Omer erech elo alai nosin erech kulon, im haya ani nosin el ye kulam erech echad ani. But if he's an ani, they all count together, whether he gives for each of them, whether he gives for all of them a sell, or each of them a sella. Right? He gives one together. Where did he get that from? Stummy got that from our Gemara. Why do we need a drasha in the Fashos? After all, obviously, you can make as many darm as you want. The drasha to teach us, they're all one unified neder, and therefore you could give, if you're an ani, you just give what you have, and that counts for all of them. Okay, John. Now let's go back to the more interesting part of the Gemara, or challenging part of the Gemara, about Gosis. First, we already mentioned the idea of how to interpret shot in the pasuk of Vehemito Veherichot. Okay, what did the pasuk say? Ve'emachu me'erkecha, right? Ve'emito lefer kohen ve'erichot soa kohen, right? What did the pasuk say? Ve'emito Lefnei Yakohain, Verich Oso Hakohain. who is the subject of that pasuk, right? Who is the subject of that pasuk, right? So what does it say? Beforehand, v'yimachum me'erkecha, if you still report it, what does it say later? Apiyashet tasik yad hanoder, ya'arichenu ha'kohen, right? V'yimachum me'erkecha is what it says before, and then after it says, alpi asher tasig yad hanoder, ya'arichenu ha'kohen. Okay. Who is the subject of that pasuk? So, what is the, okay, what's Pashup Shat? Tosus says, what's Pashup Shat? Okay, Pshat. Tosus says, the Marich. Your mommy, the Marich, b'fnei HaKohen. That's why Tosus says, it's a bit of a tzarech yon. How our Gemara darshens it to exclude some of his Marich Goseis, meaning darshens it on the Nerach, right? Because what does it mean? You're after all, what's the case in this pasuk? I say the erech of corn bluf is on me, and I'm poor. I can't afford 50 slug, right? Which is corn bluf's agent gender. So, who do they have to judge here, right? If I can't afford to pay the 50 slug, then what does the kohen have to do? He has to figure out how much I can afford, right? And whatever I can afford, there's a whole formula later on the second it talks about. How do you know how much I can afford? Right? You ever try to get people to pay what they can afford? You see, it's very complicated. It's a matter of interpretation. So how do you know how much I can afford? So the Gemara has detailed rules. They have to look into my assets. They have to get a forensic accountant. They have to figure out what are my needs and what are my what are needs and what are luxuries, and figure out what I can afford. So that's Tosa says. Pashup Shat is to see what you can afford. Because you're not seeing anything of the Nerach. Remember, I said I'll pay Kornbluth's Erech, but I don't have so much money. We know what Kornbluth is. He's a 20-something-year-old male. 50 slime. There's nothing to see. There's nothing to evaluate. Me, we have to evaluate. We have to see which furniture I need and which tools I need for my craft, for my job, etc., etc. So, meaning, what does the pasuk mean? That we evaluate how much the ma'arich can afford. However, what does Rashi say in Chumash? They should, that's, I think, points that out.
Nerach.
It's the Nerach. And so do a lot of the Pashtunim say this on Chumash. I think the Rashbam says, Chumash also, Rashi says, the Nerach. And they even have the yukim to support that it's the Nerach. I'm talking about Pshat here. I'm not yet talking about Drash and Halach. What are the yukim they have? What the yukim the Rishash has? Or anyone make a yukim in the pasuk to support Rashi?
If they bring, they mention the noder at the end of the pasuk.
Al pi asher tzigad ha noder yarichen okwe. Why doesn't it say al pi asher tzig yado? Why not al pi asher zado yarichen? His whatever he can afford, the coins marichim. Sounds like the noder is different from him, right? So their diyukim, the Rishash points this out, yad hanoder, na yado. Yad hanoder is clearly the marich, that's the noder, that's explicit. Why does it say yado if it's talking about the marich anyway? That proves we're not talking about the marich anyway. We're talking about the nerach. Well, we want to mention the marich, we have to mention it by name. There's another diach I saw in the Ksava Kabbalah, and Rafi said it's also the Meshech Chachma. A very nice diach. Vehemido. What does Vehemido mean? Vehemidota. Right? He brings someone else to stand, right? Basically, he brings someone to stand in front of the Kohen. Who brings someone else to stand in front of the Kohen? So, if we're talking about the Marech, who's bringing the Ma'arich to the Kohen? Himself. What should it have said? V'amad l'fnei ha'kohen v'arich l'so ha'kohen. Why did it say v'hemito? It means someone brings someone else. If it's the Nerach, the Ma'arich brings the Nerach. Then it makes sense. The Nerach doesn't have anything to do with this. It says, what am I? I don't do this. No, I want to bring you to the Kohen in order for the Kohen to evaluate you for my neder. So that's also a good diyuk. V'hemito. Not v'amad. Again, someone's bringing someone else. If it's the marich, who else is bringing him? He has to bring himself. If it's the nerach, I understand the marich is bringing him.
What do I need the nerach there at all?
Ah, okay, what do I need the... Right, basically, I have diukim for Rashi, but the pasuk makes sense according to Tosfos. What you're asking is, what does the pasuk mean according to Rashi? So what does the pasuk mean? What the pasuk means is this, is that... is that we being the best in the Kohen, right? It's called Kohen. Often when the Torah says Kohen, we, the halach leader means best in, and the Gemara later on discusses that in some cases there's a special need for Kohen. We, I wouldn't say value it. How do you say fix the value of? What? We assess, thank you. That's exactly the word I was looking for. We assess the value of the Nerach based on how much the Marech can afford. Basically, what's Rashi saying? It doesn't do any good to just be Mamed and Marech, be Mamed the Marech. Again, you bring the Marech into court, you say, this is how much you can afford. Who cares how much you can afford? He said the Erech of that guy. What difference does it make how much you can afford? So, what, meaning, Rashi's problem with Tosos is, on the one hand, Tosos is Pashup Shat. You evaluate how much the Ma'arif can afford. But what Rashi say back? Who cares how much the Ma'arif can afford? He said he would give the value of Kornbluth. The value of Kornbluth changes based on how much he can afford? No, for Rashi, what does this have to do? They have to bring Kornbluth into court. And they say, ah, Kornbluth. We taka had a havamina, we might have thought, you know, l'chora, that you were worth 50 slime. But keep in mind, we're not talking about an enter dummin. We're not talking about a guy pledged the actual shuk value of selling kornbluth. We're talking about some zeres hakosav amount that corresponds to him. So it's a he's not worth 50 slime anyway in the first place. So Bezna says, look, you're not really worth 50 slime anyway. It's just a zeres hakosav. The zeres hakosav is flexible. If we want to know how much you're really worth, we're going to ask an economist, there'd be no flexibility. But here, it's not how much you're really worth. It's something called Erech, which is a representation of your worth, a symbolic value. Once it's a symbolic value, so it's usually 50 slime, but you know, that guy who made the neder is very poor. He can only afford 15 slime. So let's say you're worth 15 slime, or he's even more poor, he can only afford 2 slime. So let's say you're worth 2 slime. I mean, he's worth 2 slime just as much as he's worth 50 slime. Neither of them are the real value, they're just symbolic value. Since it's just a symbolic value anyway, we can look at Kornbluth and say he's worth however much we want. That, I mean, I'm not saying we do that on our own, but the Torah gives you permission. The Torah says, you bring him in front of the Kohen evaluates him. How did the Kohen evaluate him? He could evaluate him based on what it says in the Chumash. But if the guy can't afford it, he's also allowed to evaluate him as worth a little less than that. Right? So we're not a value, meaning, of course, it's all based on how much the Marech can afford. That's a fact. The question is, I'll be wondering, what are we doing? Are we telling the Marech how much to give? Or are we koveya the value, not the shuk value, the symbolic value, right? Here is the symbolic value anyway. The value of the Nerach. And that's the difference between these two pshatim. These two pshatim is what is it all about? Here we're saying that it's about how much Marech should give. Or is it about how much the Nerach what is Hesek Yad about? I know it's because of what the Marech can afford. The question is not what it's because, what it's about. Not what's the cause, what's the effect. Tosos, on the one hand, is pshat. If it's about what the Marech can afford, we're judging what the Marech can afford. Don't give me any fancy lumdus. Rashi saying no. Pshat in the pasuk is fancy lumdus. Basically, the tension here is, whenever there's two interpretations, they each have something going for them. And they each have one, they're each stronger in one way, weaker in the other way. Otherwise, none of the farshim are stupid, right? If one perish was better in all ways than the other, everyone would hold it. What's the tension here? Tosfos has the simpler logic. Rashi has the diuk in the language of the pasuk. Rashi's clearly majority in the language of the pasuk. It says v'midonah v'amad means someone takes someone else, and therefore it's the ma'arich west to resolve the issue. He takes the nerach. It says yad hanoder, not yodo. Clearly, we're not talking about the ma'arich or the nerach. Tosfos has a simple logic. If it's because of how much the ma'arich can afford, let's judge how much the ma'arich can afford. Rashi has to have a more complex logic, a more, you might even say, dochuk logic. Because what the ma'arich can afford, we have to judge the nerach to be worth that much. So if I say I'll pay the value of lubat, and I can afford 18 and a half shekel, they have to bring in lubat and do it. It's all a tekes, right? It's all a fake out. It's all legal fiction. They have to bring in lubat and say, ah, you're not worth 50 slime. Today, right now, this minute, you're worth 18 and a half selah. Oh, how can the bezdin lie? The answer is they're not lying because he's not worth 50 either. It's just a symbolic value given by the Torah. And the Torah says, once it's a symbolic value, you have the flexibility to make it whatever you want. We're just giving suggestions for the default case. So, yes?
Why do they need the nerach? I mean, it's clear who he is. It's clear what the base number is. They're talking really about the ma'arich, what he can afford. So what's the whole concept of having the nerach there? Everyone knows he's worth...
No!
He's 20 years old and his base value is 50.
Oh, you're tzaddik. Because, why do you need the nerach there? Because, again, I don't mean to sound flippant and, you know, reform here. But sometimes the Torah gives us flexibility. Sometimes the Torah gives us flexibility. And the Torah gives us flexibility here to say that it's like... it's perhaps unique here, which is fine. Because if the Nerach wasn't in court... then how could you pay less than 50? He's still worth 50. The only way for you to pay less than 50 is for us to look at him and say he's worth less than 50. But how can we say he's worth less than 50 if he's not here? You're saying, oh, we're saying based on artificial means anyway. Yeah, but we have to go with the process. Basically, we have to pretend he's worth less than 50. We have to pretend he's worth 18 and a half. The only way we can do that is by looking at him and making on him a chalosa being worth 18 and a half. If he's not here, now the truth is, why does anyone ever have to be here? Why can't Bezdin just sign on their own? Because there's a certain formal process. The question is, what's the formal process? And the difference between Rashi and Tosfos is not the social reason behind it. The social reason behind it is very clear. The guy can only afford so much, so we'll let him pay what he can afford. The question is, what's the formal process? So the formal process is, let's just...
You can book him out with different amounts, no? Hmm? You can book him out with different amounts.
The formal process is that we establish his chiyuv as, you know, 18 and a half, you know, instead of 50. Or, no, we establish the value of, or let's say better, chiyuv of ma'arich, the value of the nerach as 18 and a half instead of 50. It's just a question of what the formal process is. But if the formal process that we have to say the nerach is worth less than 50, the nerach has to be there in court. We're just making it whatever we want anyway. Yes, but we have to do it in a legally valid way. The legally valid way is to evaluate you and say you are worth less. We're doing it artificially for some other reason. This is one of the cases in the Torah where you can do things artificially for other reasons, and perhaps one of the most egregious cases, which doesn't bother me in the least, because it's a special pasuk that says you can do it. you know, this is, you know, reminiscent of you know, the Shita in Makos that says we never want to kill people, so we always trip up the Edom until we find them making a mistake and pass all their Edos. we really do believe they're Eidos. There's really nothing wrong with their Eidos. It's just, we need to make an excuse. And the excuse is, we have to go through a certain formal process. Now, I think that you could say, Agav, it's pretty clear to me that I would put the Rambam and Rashi side here. Why would I put the Rambam and Rashi side here? Because the Rambam says, unlike anyone else explicitly, that you actually need to be mamed invested. It's not just the mutei goseis, right? The Rambam makes a big deal, and as we saw before, he makes a big deal of the need to be mamed invested, and he erases Rava. Right? Okay, we'll come back to that. Anyway, if someone wanted to tell me, I'll be lundus, what's the difference in Rashi and Tosos? What might you tie this into? What chakira might you tie this into? I'll be lundus, the difference in Rashi and Tosos. Exactly, the very first chakira we had. Right? What is Erechin all about? Is Erechin about my chiyuv to give money? Or that I really am mekadesh and I have to redeem this person? If Erechin's really about redeeming this person, then Rashi makes sense. The chiyuv of Erechin is not that I have to give money. It's that I have to redeem this person. So, if you want to make it less money, you have to say this person is worth less to be redeemed. It's not about me. It's about my chiyuv to redeem him. So I think this might tie into our original chakira, if you wanted to lend us the nature of Erchin, right? We had the Shulchan Yibarim, you recall, and we had the Chazan Ish from the beginning of the year. Rashi makes a lot of sense if it is a real pidyon of the Nerach. It is a real pidyon of the Nerach. You really have to be poja the Nerach. Well, then it makes sense. If you want to be pulled in for less, they can't just give you a kula. Oh, we look at you, you can be pulled in for less. No, the only way to be pulled in for less is to look at him and say he's worth less. If I have to be pulled to this desk, no amount of looking at me could change how to be pulled to this desk. You have to look at the desk. I know it's a legal fiction because you're only looking at the desk because of me, but you have to go through the proper procedure. You have to, and what gives us the right to be so flippant and say we're going to change what we think about the desk for ulterior motives? The Torah gives us that right because it says so. It says in the Chumash, if the Marech can afford it, you put the Nerach in front of the Kohen, and you say the Nerach is worth whatever the Marech can afford. The Torah said we can do a legal fiction. Okay, it's not my fault. The Torah's fault. Right? Go complain to the author. So if it's a real pidyon, then Rashi makes sense. The only way to pay less money is if he's worth less money. If he's worth the money, how can I be paid him for less? It's not a din of me, it's a din of him. If you say that, no, it's more of a promise to give money, then I understand. I promise to give money, so they look at me and say, we're Mako, you can give a little less money. We can reinterpret your nether to mean a little less money. So I think this is a very, very nice nafkamina of that chakir we started with. Tosos would then be reading the tzokin. That Erchin is more about me giving money. It's not a real pigeon in him. It's all about me. So therefore, if they want to be Mako, they look at me. What does he have to do with it? He has nothing. It's not about the Nerech at all. It's all about my nether. It's not about him. He was just a funny way of expressing things. He was just a Ilu Nishmas that I wrote at the end. But, you know, it's really about my neder. Well, Rashi would say, no, look at me, do you suck him? It's not about me, it's about him. I made Kedush in him, according to Shilbi Gibor, or at least a very serious key opinion in him. I have to be pulled to him. Therefore, if you want to change the amount, it has nothing to do with me. I have to be pulled to him, and it has to do with how much he's worth. So I think this works out very nicely.
Possibly you come out with different results also, depending on how you look at it. In other words, if it's Nerach, so you're really saying that he has a base value of something. If it's the Marich, then you're much more free in looking at the Marich and just saying, we're not going to make him pay more.
No,
they will pay more.
I hear what you're saying, except for the fact that the Gemara, later on in the second, has detailed rules to exactly what the Torah means by Asher Tzid Yad HaNoder and exactly how to calculate it. Right. But look at their detailed rules because it says Asher Tzid Yad HaNoder and that's a well-defined concept in Zen. Okay, now let's just get it through the Sukkis. Okay, how does this work in the Sukkis? Right? The problem is, as you might have noticed, this is not just a question of shot in the Pasuk and tying into one place in the Gemara. As we already pointed out, this is a stira in the Gemara, Daf Dalet Aleph. It's a stira, Daf Dalet Aleph. What's the stira? that when you have Rava Vemido Lifnei HaKohen for the Havamina, that Kohanim are Potter from Erchin, it was talking about the Marech. Meaning, you bring the Marech in front of the Kohen, if he's a Yisrael, but if he's a Kohen, you don't bring him in front of a Kohen, and if he's a Kohen, he's Potter. It's talking about who's Chayiv Tvei Erchin, who's not Chayiv Tvei Erchin. So it's talking about the Marech. But when you have the drasha of the Ute Goses, right? Basically, let me make it more explicit. What is the Havamina? The Havamina is a Kohen Sheherich is Potter. Right? That's the Havamina. The Kohen doesn't have to pay. That's the guy who pays the Marech. Here, the Mute Goses, what's the din? The din is Hamarich Es HaGoses is Potter. Clearly, we're going on the Nerach. And this is the problem. It's an internal stira within the Gemara. It's an internal stira within the Gemara. So how do you deal with this internal stira within the Gemara? So one derech is to take Tosis derech. That's going to be the difficult derech. Right? Let's say Tosis derech. Then, that pshat is the marech. Then the Gemara above makes perfect sense. It's Nicha, works very nicely. But this Gemara, it also says, Sarfion, right? I don't know how to interpret this Gemara. It's difficult. The Chazon Ish says, I don't know exactly how he makes it better, but the Chazon Ish follows the Rav Tosfos. He says, of course the Pasuk is talking about the Marech. It's just a drasha, l'mute yegoseis, from being Nerach. He doesn't explain how that drasha works, right? But, it says the Chazon Ish, says it's just a drasha against pshat. Every drasha doesn't have to have pshat. It's like a drasha for an extra word that we didn't know what to do with in the pshat. After all, what do we do with in the pshat? Don't say it goes for Rama, because it was only a Havamina, right? So, a drasha against pshat, right, to exclude Goses Shenera. Okay, so he says, basically, he's agreeing with Tosfos, because then Tzarech Iyun, how they knew to make this drasha. So he says, okay, they knew somehow to make this drasha against pshat. The other derech, you could say, is like Rashi. Right, according to Rashi, pshat is talking about the Nerach. So, the later part of the Gemara makes more sense. What do you do with the earlier part of the Gemara? So which Achron is clearly going with Rashi and just wants to take it all the way? Say it louder. Someone just said the answer. The Bartanur, right? What did the Bartanur say? The Bartanura says, the Havmina was not to exempt a Kohen Hamarich. No, you thought the Havmina is that a Kohen doesn't have to pay Erechin if he makes the Neder? No, according to Bartanura, what was the Havmina? Why did you need a Kohen to be in Israelim? But to exempt Marich and Sakoin, right? What did the Bartanur say on the Mishnah? Kohanim itzricha l'shmunon din ne'erachin. The Kiddush that Kohanim are ne'erachin. The Havim Kohanim were ne'erachin. So the Tos Yadav says, what are you talking about? That's not Shavu Gemara, right? No, the Bartanur says, I want it. Basically, he's defending Rashi. Pshat of the Gemara that's going on Nerachin, Pshat of the Pasuk going on Nerachin. The Gemara later on about Goses is going on Nerachin. Why is that the Gemara earlier? Why is it going on a Kohen Amarech? The answer is it's not. It's going on a Kohen being Nerach. It's not so parallel to the rest of the Gemara until then. When the Gemara wanted to pop the Hekesh the Shkolim, It obviously meant the Kohen doesn't have to give Erechin. The more one of the pots of the Hekesh opinion is not so clear, right? but he would say no. When Rava got around to saying that, the Havis, the Nidol, the Kohen, the Kohen, the Kohen, he reread the Mishnah. The Mishnah's saying everyone has to pay if they make a pledge of Erechin. Kohen of Israel, and he says no. Everyone has to pay no matter who they pledge about. Meaning, Hakol Marichin v'Nerachin, Kohanim l'Yisraelim, Kohanim l'Yisraelim is no longer part of Hakol Marichin. It's part of Hakol Nerachin. Right? That's what he meant to say. Right? Kohanim Levim v'Yisraelim is modifying Hakol Nerachin, not Hakol Marichin. And then it all makes perfect sense. Then it all makes perfect sense. Another option to defend Rashi is, 1 second, 1, 2, another option to defend Rashi is based on what we said in the Rambam. Maybe the Rambam to say that we reject Rava. You're right, Rava had the wrong shot in the pasuk. Rava was darshan the pasuk the wrong way. That's a reject Rava. Maybe that's why the Rambam passed like Abaye instead of Rava in the Shach Matari in Perush Mishnayos.
The Rambam also doesn't have explicitly the Vamido for Gosis. Could you say around the opposite way that like Tosfos just
it's hard because he does have that Mido for everyone, right? At the end of Perek Aleph. Right. Or you could say alternatively, or Rava was just a Havamina. Meaning you could say even if we don't go so far as to reject Rava's a Havamina, he was only a Havamina, he wasn't really right. Meaning maybe that's the reason he's wrong. Right, so you could say maybe Rava wasn't even a Havamina, that's what Rava seems to say. Or maybe even he was a Havamina, he's only a Havamina, that's not really true. Meaning, Rava's fundamentally the wrong way to darshan the pasuk. Either reject him even as a Havamina, which is maybe what the Rambam does, or accept him as a Havamina, but say the maskana is he read the pasuk wrong. Basically, either we reject Rava as a Havamina, that's the Rambam. Right? Because he read the pasuk wrong. Right? Either, that means like the Rambam, he's not even a Havamina, or he is a Havamina, but not true. Right? The Rambam doesn't even make him a Havamina. It doesn't even bring a Havamina like Rava. And even if he is a Havamina, maybe that's the reason he was only a Havamina, because he's reading the pasuk wrong. So maybe Rava's just reading the pasuk wrong. That's another way. Basically, if you want to defend Rashi and take Rashi straight through, say it's only talking about the Nerach. Oh, what was going on before about the Marich? Either they meant the Nerach there, like the Martinur against everyone else, or Rava was wrong. There are two other ways you could say. One is the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes is a very clever pshat.
Do you understand something here? Rashi on the Mishnah Nerachim Latuya Mai says, Hakol Dekai Nami Ayer. In other words, it's going on
Marichim,
and in addition on
Nero. Well, Hakol is going on both. Yeah. Right? Now, the question is whether Kohan and Levim Yisraelim are going on both or not. Right? The question is, what's Hakol and Levim Yisraelim going on? It could be that Hakol is going on both.
A package deal?
Well, then, of course, what you want to say, Kohan and Levim Yisraelim are going on both. And then it has to be talking about both Marichim and Nero. Which might not be crazy. Might be able to fit into the Sfas Emes. I hear the just people didn't seem to assume that, right? When the Bartanura and the Tosfos Yontif argued, is the Kohen Levi Yisrael going Marichin and Erachin? Neither of them said both. The question is, would Rashi say both? Maybe, but only if you took the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes has a clever answer. Says the Sfas Emes, he has a third shot. He says, the Stam case dealt with in the Torah is that the Marech and Nerach are the same person. It says the Stam case discussed by the Torah is a guy who pledges his own value in the Beis HaMikdash. He knows the Torah also discussed other cases. I mean, the Torah discusses if I pledge the value of a 30-day-old baby. Obviously, he didn't pledge his own value, right? But the normal case in the Torah, right? The regular case is that it's the same person. The Marech is the Nerach. The guy says, Erech Yalai. If you think about it, that would be the common thing people would do. Why would I pledge your life to the Beis HaMikdash? I pledge me to the Beis HaMikdash. Hey, it could be otherwise. I could pledge a 30-day-old baby. But the common case, so therefore he says, what? Pashup Shan and Pasuk? Pashup Shan and Pasuk is the same guy. It's the Marech and the Nerach. Once Pashup Shan and Pasuk is that it's the Marech and the Nerach, now we want to know how to darshan it using the Midos HaTorah and the Dreshes Bayin. Okay, how do you darshan it? Whichever way makes more sense is a drasha. You could darshan it either way. Whatever way makes more sense. So says the Sfas Emes, in this case, it's mistaber to darshan on the Marech in the beginning. He doesn't actually say this, adding in. But clearly it's what he means. In this case, it's more mistaber to darshan on the Nerach. Basically what he's saying is that Shut Shal Mikra, they're both right, or neither of them are right. It's the Marech guy's Marech himself. It's on the Marech and the Nerech. And Mino Negoin is talking the Marech and the Nerech. Because Mikslami is the same person. Oh, when we darshan it, that we don't darshan based on just Shut Shal Mikra, we darshan based on very well-defined particular halakha categories. So how do we darshan it? Oh, so then we say when it makes more sense. When you want to exempt a Kohen in the Havamina, it makes more sense to exempt a Kohen from paying. Kohanim don't have to pay things that Israel don't have to pay. So you darshan on the Marech, the guy who pays. The Kohanim aren't worth less than other people, they just don't have to pay a lot of obligations. When it comes to the Goseis, then what's more mistaber? The Goseis shouldn't pay? Why shouldn't the Goseis pay? He doesn't need his money anyway. No, it's more mistaber. You shouldn't have to pay if you're Marech and Goseis. Because he's not really so alive, so therefore, why should his nefesh have such a big erech? So he says, just darshan whichever way you mistaber. If you want to take the Sfas Emes one step further and say, you can even go back to the beginning of the Mar and say, maybe it's going on both the Marech and the Nerach by the Havin of Rava, and then you can keep your Pshat and Rashi. Okay, I just want to say a fourth derech here, which I haven't found in any of the Mefarshim. And maybe it doesn't make any sense. Okay, there's at least one person here who will tell me it doesn't make any sense. Let's go back to the Stira. Are we sure that they're quoting the same pasuk in those two parts of the Gemara? What pasuk are they quoting? What pasuk is Rava quoting? What pasuk is Rava quoting? Salgadai techamina ho'ol uchsiv v'hem ido lefnei ha-kohen v'lo kohen lefnei kohen. What pasuk are we quoting later on by the Goseis? Talmud lomar v'hem mid v'herich. Is that the same word? Are we sure we're quoting the same pasuk? Is it the same word? Rava quotes the word v'hem mido, and by Goseis it quotes the word v'hem mid. Does it not? It is a different word, right? By Rav it says v'hemido lefnei kohen. By the Goseis it says v'hemid v'herech. Right? Now you don't have to be diet. Korg was smiling. He said, "Yeah, v'hemid is because they want to make it parallel to v'herech, so they say v'hemid v'herech, right?
No, it's not because you again say that this is v'hemid."
Yeah, so what I want to say is that maybe they're quoting two different psukim. Maybe according to Tosfos, you could even go so far as to say they're quoting two different psukim. So, I didn't leave myself any room, but I'll here, make myself a little room here. Maybe you could say one star, one prime, mathematicians would say. That it's two different psukim. Maybe they're two different psukim. Really, maybe Tosfos is right. The pasuk by Erechin is talking about the Marech. That's what we're talking about, the Marech. But later on, we're not quoting the Pasuk Behemito. Maybe we're quoting the Pasuk Behemid. Where did it say Behemid? Later on in the same parsha of Chumash, it says, Behemid, and Havei Malach Neha Kohen, Veherichot Tar Kohen, Bein Tov, Bein Raka Kohen, Ken Yochum. It's talking about Hamad of Aruch of a Behema. So maybe this is the Pasuk, Behemid Es HaBehema, right? Behemid Es HaBehema is clearly, it's very clear, it's not dealing with Hesegyat. It's dealing with being Mamed the Nerach, right? It's clearly about the Nifta. You're Mamed the Behema, it says explicitly. Maybe there's two totally different psukim. There's one pasuk according to Tosfos of Vehemido Lefnei Kohen, which saying you bring the Marit to the Kohen and you judge how much you can afford. There's a different pasuk when it comes to someone's Makdash to Behema, says you bring whatever you want to redeem in front of the Kohen, and the Kohen evaluates how much it's worth, how much it's worth. I'm not trying to defend Rashi, I'm trying to defend Tosfos. I know I'm against Rashi. Okay. He points out I'm against Rashi, because Vehem and Verich could be Onish Eric Sifs, it's against Rashi. Okay, maybe you could say that it's two different psukim. There's one principle of Hesegyat. The principle of Hesegyat is that I have to bring the Marish in front of court and determine what he can afford. There's a different principle of a general principle of Pidyon. Whenever I'm poda anything, I have to be able to stand up that thing that I'm poda, whether it's an animal or a person. My chiddush is, you can take a pasuk that's written about a behema and extend that to people also. That's why it's a chiddush, otherwise everyone would have said it. Right? In which case, it's not that and we're saying maybe both interpretations are correct. There's one specific pasuk by Hesegyad by Erchei Adam, they have to judge the Ma'arich. There's another pasuk by anything that you're giving the value to Hekdesh, whether it be an animal or a person or anything else, that you have to evaluate how much it's worth, and part of evaluating how much it's worth is to stand it up, which would then exclude a goseis. In which case, there's no steer whatsoever because it's two different pasukim. My only chiddush is, what's the chiddush? The chiddush is that we can extrapolate from Behema to Adam. That's the chiddush of this Pshat in the Gemara. Okay, this is a machodesh way to resolve this too. The Gemara says so in two different psukim based on the diuk of Behemido versus the Hamid, which is not necessarily such a strong diuk because the Gemara is not always been diuk in exactly how they call those psukim.
Use that comparison in the next psukim, that comparing Hamada.
Oh, you mean Matosik asked the steer in
Hamada? But he seems to be able to...
Correct. He compares. That's not necessarily strong as extrapolating. Okay. So anyway, that's a chiddush. If not, we still have plenty of ways of interpreting this, of resolving the stira. Okay. We have to come back, Amir Tzashim, on Thursday to catch up on some of the other things and go on in the Gemara.